Hi, Michaela Lafrac here. The podcast you are about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. Longtime Vermont State Senator Dick Sears died this weekend at the age of 81. He represented Bennington County for more than three decades. A Democrat, he championed judicial reform and advocated for a more trauma-informed approach to rehabilitating at-risk youth. Sears's death comes on the heels of the passing of another titan of the Vermont Senate, Dick Mazza, who died at the end of May at the age of 84. Mazza, also a Democrat, represented Colchester and Grand Isle County. He spent 42 years in the State House while also running a beloved general store. What are your memories of these two senators? Email us throughout today's show at vermontedition@vermontpublic.org so we can remember their lives together. Meanwhile, three other longtime members of the Senate have announced their retirement. We are lucky enough to be joined by all three today to help us remember Dick Sears and Dick Mazza and tell us about their own hopes for the future of the Vermont Senate and the state at large. First, we have with us the woman known as the most influential legislator in Montpelier, Jane Kitchell, represented Caledonia County for nearly two decades. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
We're also joined by Senator Bobby Starr of Orleans County, who began his first term in the Vermont House in 1979, followed by a years-long stint in the Senate. Welcome.
Yep. Thank you. Glad to be with you this morning.
We're so glad to have you. And finally, we have Senator Dick McCormick of Windsor County, who served for more than three decades. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
And I should note that all three of our guests today are Democrats. Let's start with some memories. First, I'd like to offer my own personal condolences to each of you. I know that you all knew Dick Sears and Dick Mazza very well, worked together extremely closely for decades, and it's an immense loss. Jane Kitchell, I'm hoping that you might be able to start us off with a remembrance today of your colleagues in whatever way feels appropriate to you.
Thank you. Obviously, this has been a sad several weeks. Senator Mazza, and I, actually, his seat in the Senate chamber was next to mine. So we spent many hours as we were doing bills on the floor and debate, sitting side by side, talking about bills, how we were going to vote. And then I also served on the Transportation Committee that he chaired for 18 of the 20 years that I was in the Senate. So I think, you know, as I reflect on 20 years and the number of committee members who have come and gone, I've probably spent more waking hours with Senator Mazza than maybe any other senator. Mm. As far as Senator Sears, before I came to the legislature, I actually worked in human services. So I had the benefit of working with him while he was operator of a group home in Bennington. And then when I came to the Senate, he was on the Appropriations Committee, and I was appointed to that committee my first term. So actually, I had Senator Sears with me every afternoon on Senate Appropriations. So I've lost two colleagues that I have cherished. We've shared many, many stories. Certainly, we had comments about Dick and Jane and the various decisions that we had to make, how we agonized over them, how we looked at issues, how we could share difference of opinion. And it was truly a wonderful opportunity. Two people with a commitment to public service, not in a self-aggrandizing way, but in a way to make life better for so many Vermonters. Many of them are of whom are sort of on the margins. So it's been, for me personally, having two very close colleagues die within just such a short period of time. Oh,
I can't imagine. And I am so very sorry for your loss. Bobby Starr, I'm wondering what your memories are of Dick Mazza and Dick Sears that you could add to Jane Kitchell's remembrance there.
Well, they were very good friends of mine, I would say. Mazza, I got to know him when I was over. Well, I got to know both of them, actually, when I was over in the house, but more Dick Mazza owning a transportation business, through all these early years. I used to keep a pretty close eye on transportation issues because they had a direct impact on the transportation business. So I, used to go over to the Senate and deal with Tom Crowley early on, and then it turned over when he retired to Dick Mazza, and he was a great guy to work with. Always had a little candy in the room, so he could sweeten you up with that. He was very even keeled. I would say we agreed many, many times over the years. We're both sort of moderate Democrats, it had to be. We would go with the other side sometimes to make issues work better, and so he was a very even keeled individual. Is never got too excited or didn't show it at least, and was just pleasant. Very pleasant to work with, and certainly missed him sadly this winter. Was at his funeral the other day, and he had a lot of friends, I'll say that, and he should have, the way he operated. As far as Dick Sears, he's been chair of judiciary for a lot of years, but I never had much interest in the judicial system as far as going there to testify a lot. But I did really get to know him on appropriations, and he was, he'd get gruffy some days and a little bit ugly, but. It always turned out well, and Jane some days had her hands full keeping him under control, but there was a reason why he got that way, and a lot of times we would make little changes to a bill that he would be then happy as heck about, but it really added a lot to the bill, and especially on all judicial matters. He was just a good guy to work with. A lot of times after work, I'd walk out with him, and we'd go in his room and visit some about whatever, both of those two senators are going to be really missed in Montpelier. Mm.
Jane, is that true? Do you keep your hands full?
Yes, Senator Sears could get very passionate and sometimes would emote very strongly. But it just had a way. I respected his opinion, its intensity, and generally had good reason for it. I think some people were maybe put off by some of his, what you might call explosions, but underneath it all, there wasn't a person who was more caring and harder working and the nicest person could ever be. So yes, gruffness might be one way of describing it. But, you know, sometimes it would just be simple. I just reach out and put my hand on his arm and we had a certain way of communicating. After 20 years, I mean, we lasted longer than most marriages. we just had a way of diffusing or just moving on. And so it could be challenging at times, but he was responding with the best of intentions, nothing in a way that was not necessarily warranted, but he was probably known for that side of his temperament for anybody who experienced it for the first time.
Senator Dick McCormick, tell us about your memories of these two colleagues of yours.
Well, I was often the one who Dick Sears was angry at. And I can say that, and he was a physically large man, very rough kind of voice, but he was never intimidating when he got mad. My reaction usually was that I worried that I had hurt his feelings, because he was really, in many ways, he seemed like a big teddy bear of a man. Mm. And he felt deeply. And there were times when he felt he'd been wronged and he protested. And we always, we didn't just make peace afterwards. It was almost like it never happened. Mm. And I will say of Sears also, as a committee chair, he was chair of judiciary when we did civil unions many years ago. And that was a controversial bill. And he knew that no matter what we did, a third of the state was going to be very angry with us. If we passed it, there were people who'd be angry. If we didn't pass it, there were people who'd be angry. And then there was a third who probably could be swayed one way or another. He, as chair, acted almost like a judge. He was above it. He made sure that everything was done fairly and that everyone was heard from. And then there were other members of the committee who took an advocacy role. And I think that had a lot to do with why we were able to do what was at that time a controversial bill. It's hard to believe now that it was controversial, but it was at the time. And it got through without a lot of, there was some outrage from some quarters, but basically the state accommodated itself to our decisions. And I think that was a lot because of Sears. Mazza was a great guy. He and I personally, the relationship was that he was such an establishment kind of guy. Bobby said moderate. I thought it was funny that I would send him funny notes now and then, just because he seemed like an unlikely target for my funny notes.
What kind of notes?
And it was great. What's that?
What kind of notes?
Oh, well, Mazza always criticized me for talking too long. If I spoke on the floor, he'd do the finger across the throat gesture
to do
the opposite of one another. And so every now and then, if someone was being long-winded, I would send him a note just saying, "Do not ever accuse me of being long-winded again." And then he'd laugh. So we got along fine.
Wonderful. We have Katiana in Plainfield calling in. Katiana, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much. I worked for an advocate in the legislature this year, and I sat in Senate Appropriations every day. I sat across from Senator Sears, and I would watch him interact with his colleagues. And I just have such fond memories of him as a kind, sweet man who had lots of really incredible points to say, and a fantastic sense of humor. And we used to watch him lovingly tease his colleagues. He would have things that he would bring up over and over again, you know, every week or 2 weeks. And, you know, he'd bring it up again with this twinkle in his eye, and all his colleagues would go, "Oh, Dick, oh, not again." And they'd all be laughing. And that was such a fond memory I have, and such a special thing I got to watch in the legislature this year.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Katiana. You mentioned the Appropriations Committee, which Jane Kitchell, you chaired. Do you have any shared memories like those of Katiana's of Dick making work a little lighter with jokes?
Oh, we certainly did. And one of the things we often would talk about is how we were going to vote on bills. And sometimes votes could be very difficult. And oftentimes, either one of us would say, we think Dick and Jane are going to hold hands and jump off a cliff on this issue. And there were times when our votes felt like we were jumping off a cliff. But we had a relationship where you could have a conversation and you could talk very honestly. And to me, that's one of the most important aspects, is having a colleague that you can have those kinds of exchanges, know that they're in confidence, where you can sort of share the angst of the decision that you've got to make. Because as Senator McCormick had said, particularly with civil unions, some people are going to be so happy and other people are obviously not happy at all. And those votes are obviously very difficult to take. And it's helpful to have someone to sort of batch your ideas or your concerns and know that it can be done in a safe way. And so Dick and I, we had many, many conversations. We had conversations about whether he would run again and whether I would run again. And his thinking about why he would and then why he hadn't. He talked about he had worked his entire life from when he was in high school and really never had a retirement. Because I can tell you, when you're in the legislature and over the years, and I'm sure my two colleagues can speak to this, the time demands have become increasing. And we are a citizens legislature, we value it, but I would say that most of the year we're working full time. And that it leaves little time for travel. And Dick Sears loved his cruises. He loved going on cruises, and he and his wife went on many, many cruises. And in fact, he even had a cruise planned for this fall. And I was thinking about that. That's one cruise that he won't take. But the last cruise he went on, he actually took his wife's ashes and buried her at sea. And to me, that was just sort of so symbolic of their relationship together and their love for the many cruises that they had taken together.
Well, thank you for that remembrance. Senator Bobby Starr, you have lived nearly your whole life in North Troy. What got you into politics way back when?
Well, it's not a hard question to answer. My family, I have a large family up here in Troy, and I've always been, you know, my granddad was mixed up in it. He served as a legislator, you know, years ago. My dad was in local politics, you know, select board member and overseer of the poor and everything in between for years. So I basically grew right up in it. And and there wasn't many Democrats up here in the Northeast Kingdom, especially right on the Canadian border at that point in time. And we had a lot of Canadian immigrants that came over and bought farms. And you know, we were all friends because we were farmers. And they got naturalized and became Democrats along with our family and, you know, the Pauline family and the Dunn family. And anyways, so that, you know, I grew right up in it. And at our family dinners, you didn't want to talk too positive about the Republican Party because that was not a non-negotiable issue to talk about. But, you know, and And, you know, my dad was chair of the county committee back when Phil Hoff ran for governor, and we knew the Hoff family very well, and the Kunin family. He was my dad's doctor, Dr. Kunin. And so we got to know those people, and you know, I served as a town moderator. I've served there since I was 21 years old, and still am the town moderator. So it's just a thing of habit of trying to make our community, you know, a better place to live and to try to use people fairly and straightforward with them.
And you're not hanging up your town moderator hat just yet.
No, but it's coming.
We do have Senator Peter Welch joining us now to share a remembrance of Dick Mazza and Dick Sears. Senator Welch, are you with us?
I am. And my colleagues, I think, spoke not just for me, but for all of us who served with Dick and Dick. You know, they were just bedrocks in the Senate.
I'm so sorry, Senator Welch, we've lost you again. We'll have to connect with you at another time, but thank you so much for calling in. Let's return to our conversation about our three guests and their careers in the Vermont Senate. Dick McCormick, listening to your colleague Bobby Starr talk about some of the party differences in his part of the state, I'm wondering if you could speak to that from your own experience. How have you seen partisanship change throughout your tenure in the Senate?
Well, throughout my tenure, but also even before, Vermont was a solid Republican state for over a century. And when you get a one-party system, what happens is the one party tends to bifurcate. And you had the Gibson Republicans and the Proctor Republicans. Then years later, when the Southern Democrat, nationally, the Southern Democrats took over the Republican Party. You got the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act in the 60s, and yet Nixon's so-called Republican majority in 68. I think a lot of Vermont Republicans wondered what happened to their party. And a lot of people say, well, Vermont went from a Republican state to a Democratic state because the Flatlanders moved in with their liberal politics. But I think a lot of old Vermont Republicans really didn't know what had happened to their party and found themselves agreeing more with Democrats. I've always had many, many close, not just friendships, but political relationships with Vermont Republicans, including my mother-in-law, who I asked her at one point, I said, you put my sign up, you vote for me, you say you haven't voted Republican in 20 years, why don't you join the Democrats? And she said, never. She was a good Vermont Republican. And I think George Aiken would have a lot of trouble with Donald Trump these days. I don't know if I answered your question. I answered the question, I hope.
No, I appreciate that. And Jane Kitchell, I'm also curious for your thoughts here, because when you were elected, you were the first Democrat in 16 years to represent Caledonia County in the state Senate. How have you seen partisanship affect the Senate? And do you feel like it's gotten easier or harder to work across the aisle during your tenure?
Boy, it seems like the issues are becoming more difficult. I don't know if it's because of the nature of the issues or not. You're right. There'd only been one Democrat elected in the Senate district since 1912 when I ran, and I ran against two incumbent Republicans. So my success was probably counter to political wisdom. As I think about today, though, I had the benefit of our families being friends with Senator Ralph Flanders, and he was in the United States Senate with McCarthyism. And he actually, as a Vermonter and a Republican, came forward and was the first person to call for censure of McCarthy. And that was a time when everything was so hysterical and people's lives and careers were being destroyed. And I think about how Congress is, how they are responding, and sort of the values and the integrity. And I'm like, where is there a Ralph Flanders today? And so I have to say, having the benefit of that experience, I worked on Phil Hoff's campaign. He actually spoke at my high school graduation. My mother was in the legislature in the session for reapportionment, which changed the whole political landscape in Vermont. And so I look back and think about how fortunate I've been to have kind of those experiences that have framed my thinking. The other part I would say is we have ideology on both sides, and it's very hard to come to a common ground. And yet there's so much what gets done and such a convergence if people, the moderate Democrats, as many of us have described ourselves, and moderate Republicans. I worked for Governor Dean, and he was fiscally conservative, I can tell you, socially liberal. And I think those experiences have shaped how I look at issues, how I think about issues, but also like Senator Sears, who came up on the correction side, I came up on the social welfare side. So I spent so much of my life really dealing with families and children sort of on the margins, and how government can improve the lives, whether you're talking about people who are dependent on benefits, or you're talking about people who are receiving services from the state, or who might be awaiting justice because of the court backlog. And so for me, that shaped how I look at the budget. How are we doing with our core governmental functions, and how are we spending money? Because so much of the spending requests are driven to add something new, and we have a lot of advocacy, but at some point you have to say, how well are we doing with core functions and with the obligations that we currently have?
Well, let's keep looking to the future here. Senator Bobby Starr, what is one piece of advice or guidance that you might offer to the person who will be filling your shoes and representing your region?
Well, you get sent to Montpelier to represent the people that you represent, and you can fall into traps in Montpelier, into the hoopla, and vote for things that they really, the people up in the Northeast Kingdom don't really like, and get into trouble. So you've got to keep close to the people that you represent. Go to their meetings and talk with them. And I've been blessed, I guess you would say, to get elected as a Democrat out of the Northeast Kingdom for 46 years. I try to listen. You learn twice as much by listening than you can by talking. And so you have to be a good listener, and you never forget where you came from, and pay attention to the issues. I must say that Jane's right here with us, but the Appropriations Committee, Bill Doyle always used to say, "Well, if you don't have a seat at the table, you're on the menu." It's the Appropriations Committee's the most important committee in Montpelier. And, over the years that Jane has chaired that committee and I've served on it, we've had a great committee. We all get along well, and we never have forgot where we came from. And and try to, you know, take care of the people's needs. And and that's what government should be for and what it's all about.
Yeah.
And I think we've held that up well.
Senator Dick McCormick, we have a few minutes left. I'd love to hear your hopes for the future or your advice for the person who will be filling your shoes.
Okay, well, one you hear it a lot is anyone in the legislature, you should listen to the people. But if you listen to the people, you discover that the people speak in many different contradictory voices. So you've also got to make sure that you're thinking clearly, that you've got your facts straight and you're thinking clearly. And if that means occasionally going against the wishes of some of your constituents in Vermont, they get a crack at you every 2 years. And I've always been prepared to be voted out of office if I thought I was doing the right thing. And had it happened, I would not have complained. As it is, the people have been real, real good to me. And so I'm grateful for that. But there is a listen to the people, try to make sense. And then if I had to pick out one issue, I would say, and Jane knows I'm going to say this, the transcendent, overarching, existential issue of our time is global warming. And pay attention to that.
So many more questions for each of you, but unfortunately we are out of time. I'm so appreciative of the time that you spent with us and all the work that you have done on behalf of our brave little state. Jane Kitchell of Caledonia County, Bobby Starr of Orleans County, and Dick McCormick of Windsor County, all three retiring Democrats from the Vermont State Senate. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.